So as you can see, I'm letting my freak flag fly, and I'm wearing these clothes to help us all get back into a mood of 50 years ago, 1971, when the counterculture was blossoming in America. I was born into a traditional Irish Catholic, pretty conservative family, grew up in the suburbs. There were six kids. I was the oldest and the oldest male, and that meant I was expected to become a priest. That wasn't going to happen. Although I lived the motto of my high school, teach me goodness, discipline, and knowledge, while I was with my parents and at school. Outside of school, my friends and I were voted juvenile delinquents by the community association. I was smoking cigarettes and pot in ninth grade. And in 11th grade, I lost my virginity to a very worldly young lady who also went braless, which meant my mother hated her. But that was 1971, and in September of that year, I left for Central Michigan University just before my 18th birthday. My 12 years of Catholic school ensured that I had discipline enforced on me, but I knew nothing about self-discipline. That first week, I went to a fraternity party. The only memory I have is being thrown into a cold shower by my roommates, who used that to rinse off the beef Wellington vomit that I had produced. I do remember that later in the year, I managed to find more and better drugs, more and better women, more and better drinking opportunities, and a little bit of studying and, you know, doing what I was supposed to. But when I went home for Christmas, I couldn't really talk about anything that I was doing, except for classes and grades. But I was able to pass on to my mom that I had broken up with my high school girlfriend. It made her very happy, to the point where she offered to fix me a special dinner before I left to go back to school. That special dinner was, of course, beef Wellington. Well, I left for school early because it took me 35 years before I could even smell beef Wellington, let alone try and eat it. So 1972, went back to school. My parents dropped me off at the dorm, but little did they know that since I was paying for school, I'd already decided to move out of the dorm. They moved me in, and 3 days later, I was living off campus. I moved into a farmhouse, the bottom floor, with two other guys. There were three other guys living in the barn and back that had been converted. And there were four girls living upstairs. This place was about 2 miles off campus. It did offer plenty of opportunity for study. It was cheaper. I could eat better. It also offered many opportunities for sex, drugs, rock and roll. Getting more involved in the counterculture. Dan, the window pane man, would visit every couple of weeks. And Crawford House became known as Party Central, especially to our friends stuck in dorms. When I came home for Christmas, I then let them know that I had moved off campus. And I started to explain that, there were these people living there. We had six or eight dogs. And my sister blurts out, "Dick's living in a commune." And I spent the next 4 weeks trying to explain it wasn't a commune. It was simply where I was living. It made more sense. Since my grades were decent, we didn't do much talking except about that in classes because the topics of current events and politics and the counterculture were not appropriate for our table anymore. It was a semi-uncomfortable couple of weeks at home and then back to school. 1973, I decided when I went back to school that I was going to get a dog, and to do that, I needed to get a job. So I got a job at Burger Chef because they offered you a choice between a hairnet or a wig, and I wanted to choose the wig. I also got a dog, Tanya, a very stupid and independent Afghan Shepherd mix, but very beautiful. Went through that semester and got pretty good grades, as usual, and then back home for Christmas. When I walked in with Tanya, my mom about fell to the floor because Tanya loved the living room. And the living room was where people were only allowed three times a year, Christmas, Thanksgiving, and New Year's. The furniture was covered in plastic. But it had a light green shag carpeting, and I think Tanya thought she was sleeping on grass. And then a couple hours after I got home, everybody's there, and I decide it's time to pull off the wig. Well, that about killed my mom. And looking back, I would never do that again. It also kind of meant that I went back to school early. It was better for all concerned. By the way, in that spring semester, Tanya, the idiot, gets hit by a car. I call up my dad because she had one hip crushed. I said, "Dad, I need $115 for surgery for Tanya." First words were, "They shoot horses, don't they?" And then he came through with the money. Might not talk about anything, but he was willing to help. So I finished that semester, home for the summer, go back in 1974 for another year of school. And at the break, I decided that I wasn't going to stay at home. I was going to go to Florida with five other friends. I stopped at the house to drop off laundry on the way, and we drove down to the very southern tip of the Florida mainland, where there was a state park, and we camped there for a few days. I found out I had an unmarketable skill of being able to climb coconut trees. I could do a 40-foot tree in about 30 seconds, whether I was on windowpane or not. Then we decided to go down to Key West to see a sunset. It was a Tuesday, and we saw the sunset. I turn around, and there's my brother Tom, who I'd left in Michigan. As far as I knew, had no plans to come down to Florida. But he did, and he was there that same night, and for that only that night. He did mention to me that Mom was doing the laundry, and found out that their mine was infested with crab lice. So on the way back to school, I chose not to stop at home. That way I didn't have to talk about anything. I think it was 3 weeks before my mom actually talked to me. So got through that year, and the summer again, then 1975, still living at Crawford. Things are going well, grades are good, and I go home for Christmas. With Tanya, of course. On the first morning, my dad wakes me up. "Dick, Tanya shit in the bedroom and I stepped in it." Well, I knew he hadn't stepped in it because if he had, both Tanya and I would be dead. But I went in and was helping him clean it up, and there's a strangled cry from downstairs. It's my mom. And apparently Tanya had to go really bad because she also pooped on the living room floor. It was extremely uncomfortable. Didn't matter whether we could talk politics or not because we weren't talking about anything. So all this non-talking and stuff that's going on, I think back and can only regret that I didn't try and talk more back then. Because now that we're stuck in the era that we are now, I realize you have to learn how to talk through those difficult subjects. Otherwise, we're not ever going to make any progress. And I can't talk to my five brothers and sisters right now. They're all on the right side of the spectrum, whereas I've continued to go left this whole time. I guess what it boils down to is there's nature, there's nurture, and then there's the people you hang with. And the latter are what's probably going to determine how you live the rest of your life and how you view the world. Sad to say I can't talk to my siblings, but I'm very happy to be on the left side of the spectrum.